about everything. You think he don't know? You know, in spirit and in truth. And so today I'm going to tell you two stories that are two of my favorites, and they're both in Luke. And one of them's found in Matthew as well, and one of them's about the woman with the issue of blood. I'm going to see where it's at. It's in Matthew 8, begins in the 43rd verse. Y'all can go there, and you can read it. And then I'm going to tell you how to see it. That's what I've got to do. I've got to bring the Word forth in such a way that you not only listen to what the Word of God has to say, but you hear it. Because that's where faith comes. And sometimes it takes you going to a place where you can focus and you can see a mental picture of what's going on. I mean, God's been dealing with me on this. I mean, since I've been to Mexico the last time, God started showing me, you got to paint a picture. You got to paint a picture. And sometimes it feels weird doing it, but you know what? You got to paint a picture so that people can see what that woman went through to, and what she risked and what she did to get what she had to have to make it. Amen. You know? And then we're going to go into another story that in Luke as well. But I just want you to know that I'm more excited about preaching in the last month or so than I've been since the day I started. You know, when you do start doing something new, it's exciting. But let me tell you something. I am so fired up. I think our leadership is the best there is. And we're fixing to build something. And if you can't worship in spirit and in truth, you're in the wrong place. I'm not going to get mad at you. But you know what? That's what we're looking for. You're not gonna change mending until you can enter into the Holy of Holies and make your quest renowned to God. That's the only way you're going to do it. That's the only way you're going to do it. And the only way you're going to get there is through true worship. Amen? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, your word, which is anointed, it's alive, it's powerful, Father. It can do all things, Father. One word from your word can change a life forever, Father. Just one. Father, it doesn't matter what word it is, but Father, the word that somebody needs today, they will hear, Father. Not from me, but from you, by your Spirit. Father, we thank you so much, Father, for those that are here, Father. We right now, we pray for that group, Father, that we've got down in Saline right now working so tirelessly, Father, to have this event that goes on this afternoon, Father, for them to be down there working. And I know they want to be here, Father, but they've got work that they need to do, Father. And Father, we just speak an anointing, Father. I know they're going to be wore out tonight. Father, we just right now, we speak a renewing to them, Father, in Jesus' name.
Yes, Father.
In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Woman with the issue of blood. Y'all all know the story. If you don't know the story, raise your hand. Oh. Y'all are in for a treat then. Woman with the issue of blood. If you look in the 8th chapter of Luke, I think it is. Luke. No, I'm doing it from Luke. There's two. There's one in Matthew as well. It's the same story. But I'm doing it out of Luke because there's another story I'm going to tell, which is on another page. The 13th chapter, the 8th chapter, the 43rd verse. There was this woman, and we're all grown-ups in here, amen? Ain't nobody going to get squeamish on me, are they? You know, a woman has a menstrual cycle that she goes through. And it's a natural thing. It's required. God created a body a certain way. He made it that way. And men came up and they said, you know what? Well, that's just the filthiest thing I've ever heard of in my life. That's exactly. And you know what they did? They made a law. They made a law that said when that was going on, you were declared unclean and you could not stay in your own house. You had to go outside of the city. And when all that was over with, you had to come back to the priest, and the priest had to declare you clean so that you could go back and live with your family. That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. I believe it was just a man's world, and they were trying to get around PMS. That's just what I think. But anyway, this woman, you know, that started, and you know, she goes outside of town, you know, and she's going to stay out there, and it's, you know, it's pretty nice probably for the woman. Get away from the kids, get away from my husband, get stay out of town, you know, not have to clean, you know, just have a little vacation, you know. And the woman goes out of town. It's about time for her to come back into town, but nothing stops. She said, well, that's all right. Another day or two. Well, it keeps on and on and on. And so this woman decides she needs to see a doctor. And so she goes to the doctor. The doctor said, oh, just do this, and in a few days it's going to stop. Didn't happen. Went back to the doctor. The doctor said, well, if you just take this medicine right here, everything's going to be all right. Well, that doctor's a quack. So she goes to another doctor. Same thing. This went on for 12 years. 12 years. Now, after a few weeks, I can imagine it's irritating, you know. But after 12 years, it was a lifestyle. That's the way she had to live. And the word, if you read in here, it says that she spent all that she had on doctors to get well. Spent every dime she had to get well. And you know what? She still had to live outside the city. She had to be out on her own, away from where life happened. To where all her friends were. I don't know if she had a family. I don't know if she had kids. I don't know if she had a husband. But I know one thing. She lost her. If she wasn't married, she lost a pretty good chance because she was out there for 12 years. So, you know, it's a long time. Long time to be out there. And so, never could get declared whole. So she goes and probably ended up moving in with the lepers because she didn't have any more money. She couldn't take care of herself, you know. Because she didn't have a way to make money, because she couldn't go into town because she'd not been declared clean again. So this woman had nothing. And the only place that she could go would be to a leper colony where the lepers lived. And she's out there living with the lepers. And, you know, that's a bad place to be. Place of constant death. I'm telling you what, I don't know. Do y'all know what leprosy does? It eats away. You know, it may eat away your arm. It may eat away your ear. It may eat away half of your face, you know. It may eat away your nose. It's a terrible, terrible, terrible disease. And there was no way that anybody could get cured from it once they got it back then. And unless they met Jesus. Jesus never met a leper that asked him that he didn't make whole and healed. Not a one. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go a step further, and you can go through the Bible all you want to. Jesus never met a sick man that asked him to be well he didn't heal, or a sick woman. They say, is it your will for me to be whole? Yeah. You're healed. Just that simple. So anyway, this woman living in a leper colony. And all of a sudden, some of the lepers start slipping out. Are you following me? Are y'all getting this picture? It's all in here. Some of these lepers start slipping out, and they never come back. And the word gets back to the leper colony that some of these lepers have gone out. There was two at one time and another 10 at another time had come to Jesus and hollered at him from afar. Said, thou son of David, cleanse us. Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. It says, as they were going, they were made whole. In other words, if they lost an arm, their arm was back. It didn't say they were just healed. It said they were made whole. Their ear grew back. Their nose grew back. Whatever, you know. Their leg. I don't know what it was. You know, it could have been anything. But it said, as they were going, they were healed and made whole. And so, the word gets back to this woman. This woman's not a believer. She'd never heard the name of Jesus before in her life. And besides that, a lot of people don't realize this. There was a bunch of people named Jesus back then. There's a bunch of people in Mexico named Jesus, too. There's a bunch of people in America named Jesse. It's just a name. But after Jesus went to the throne room and offered his blood as a sacrifice, that's when God made his name above every name. And then Jesus gave us the authority to use his name. That's why people don't name their kid Jesus anymore. You know what I mean? Back then it was a fairly common name. Amen? So anyway, she heard about this guy. His name could have been Bob. Who knows? She didn't care. She just wanted to get rid of what was going on with her. She wanted to be normal. She wanted to live a normal life again. How many of y'all just want to get to a point in your life, at one point, says, you know what, I just want to live a normal life again. I've been there. You hear me? I have been there before. Don't want to go back. But anyway, so she started hearing about this guy named Jesus, that the lepers would come up to him, and he'd heal them, and he'd make them whole. And she said, well, my goodness, old Joe, he went up there, you know, he had his nose looked like Michael Jackson's surgeon had got a hold of it, you know. And he went out there, and Jesus said, healed him and made him whole, and he's got a normal nose again. She said, I'm going to find me this Jesus guy. He said, if the lepers, as sick as they are, if he can just speak a word to them and make them whole, all I got to do is just touch his clothes and I'll be made whole. I'll be made whole because what I got is minor compared to what they got. Now, that's just the way she looked at it. Is that true faith? No. It's not. Because it doesn't take any more faith, any more grace, any more faith, any more healing power to cure a common cold than it does cancer or Alzheimer's or anything else. It doesn't. It's just faith believing God for what he says he'll do. And so this woman wasn't a believer, but she knew that these guys had been made whole. That was her whole world. And that's where she came from. And it said, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. She heard what Jesus had done in their lives. Therefore, faith grew. She said, well, if theirs is that bad, man, all I got to do is touch his clothes, you know. And if you look in Matthew version of it, it says the corner of his garment. The corner. And if you look in the 15th chapter of Numbers, you'll find out that Jesus' clothes had a tassel on it. On the corners. All she had to do is just touch that tassel. A corner. Any part of his clothes. That's where her faith was. Let me ask you this. And I've asked you this before, some of you. If she would not have touched his clothes, would she have been healed? No, because that's where all her faith was, just touching him. She had to do what she believed to get what she needed. It was not up to Jesus whether she was healed or not. It was up to her. And that's where her faith was. Let me tell you something. I've gone into hospital rooms with people dying and, you know, and everything else. And I said, all right, this is what I'm going to believe God for. I asked them, what do you want me to believe God for? Well, just that, you know, I said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to meet you where your faith level is. I want more for you than this. Jesus wants more for you than this. But if this is where your faith's at, that's what I'm going to agree with you on. You know, I'm fine with that. I had to do that with my mom. I'm almost praying to die. I said, you know, that's hard to do, but, you know, she'd given up. You know, but sometimes you just have to meet people at their faith level. This woman's faith level was way up there, but her belief system was all screwed up. You know what? Jesus didn't care. He could have cared less what her system of beliefs were. She just knew that he didn't know anything about her. He didn't even know who she was. And so she said, you know what I'm going to do? I am going to go into town because I heard that Jesus is coming to town. I'm going to go in to town. Taylor likes this message. This is a formal one I did in Mexico. And so, you got to understand, she's declared unclean. If she gets caught in the city, they're going to stone her and they're going to kill her. That's what's going to happen to her. She's going to bring shame to her family if she had one. She's going to be stoned. She's going to be killed. And so she probably went into disguise mode or stealth mode, whatever you want to call it. you know, put a hood over her head, you know, using the veil, you know, the whole thing, you know, and covered up, you know, and she gets into, you know, she's run over here and she'll hide behind a rock, you know, before she gets to town and look around, you know, and she'll go around and gets into town, you know, and, you know, she's up against a wall, you know, looking around, you know. You know, are you following me? This woman's scared to death for her life, but she's willing to risk her life to get her life back. Are you following me? This woman had to have what Jesus had. She had to have it. And so she sees a huge crowd. And she has said, the Word of God says that she presses in and she pushes through. And she reaches out and touches the corner. Just the corner. Of his clothes. Now that's what you read in here, or should have. If you're not, you know, I'll get Emily up here to read it because I don't have my glasses. But what's interesting is what happened when she touched his clothes. It said immediately her blood dried up. And Jesus, with hundreds of people around him, said, "Hey, who touched me?" And Peter, in all his infinite wisdom, said, "What? Man, there's people pressing in on all sides. There's a bunch of people been touching you, man. Why don't you ask me who's touching you?" He said, "No, somebody touched me, and I felt power and virtue leave my body." And so Jesus turned around and said, "Who touched me?" And the woman said, "I got to admit, it was me." And he said, "Woman, your faith made you whole." In other words, I didn't have anything to do with this. This was all you. This was all you. Now listen to me. Listen to what I'm about to tell you, because this is important. This is important, important, important. This woman broke all the rules of society to get what she had to have from God. This woman came out of her safety zone to a place where she could have been killed to get what she got from God. People come out of their comfort zone to get what they need from God. Are you listening to me? You know what aggravates me? When people say, "You know what?" Ginger says this a lot, and I just kind of go on with it, you know, because I understand what she's saying. But we try to keep God in a box. No, what God's wanting is for us to get out of our box. That's what God's wanting, us to get out of our box. Let me tell you something. This woman broke all the rules. Let me, you know, and we go to churches. We go to churches, and they're able to touch the clothes of the same Jesus that woman touched, but they are not taking the risk it takes to get to where that woman is. Amen. Amen. Are you listening to me? A lot of people are missing God by just about that far. From taking their hands from here just to here. Some people are missing God by this far. They're just standing there like this instead of just closing their eyes and saying, "God, I'll do whatever you need me to do." It's not comfortable for them to praise and worship God in front of anybody. Let me tell you something. If you can't do it in front of somebody, I can promise you, you're not doing it at home. You can tell me you can all you want to, but I can come to your house and I'm going to say, "Let's pray. Come on, put on some praise music. We fixing to praise and worship. You're going to have to forgive my voice, but we're going into the throne room right now. Are you ready?" You know what they're going to do? They'll either hold my hand, "Well, let's pray." Or they'll say, "Okay," and I'll go to the throne room and they won't be there. Are you following? I go to the throne room a lot. I have to. Why? Because I got to get something to feed you. I got to get something to feed you. But why don't you go to the throne room more often? you give me something to eat. Give me something to eat. You know who I get fed from a lot of the time? Sandra. Sandra feeds me constantly. I get around Sandra, I'm like a little bird. That woman stays in her word. You hear me? She stays in... Oh, no, I got a picture there. That woman stays in her word. She stays in prayer all day long. She's listening to the word of God every day in her office. That woman goes home and she prays. You don't ask her to pray before you eat. You hear me? It'll get cold. Every time, it's Celine. Every time, she'll say, stand to your feet, I want to pray for you. I never get up. I look over at Arlene Hostclaw and I said, don't get up. She said, what? I said, just sit down. It'll be 10 minutes. And then Sandra talks for 10 minutes. She said, raise your hands. I said, don't raise your hands yet. She'll talk for another 10 minutes. And everybody's going, before she ever starts praying, and she'll pray for another 10 minutes. And then she gets mad at me because we're going over too long. Let me tell you something. There's nobody in this world that I love more than Sandra Sanford. I mean, she works her rear end off down there at that church, and she works here hard. And let me tell you something. That woman feeds me. You hear me? Feeds me. You know why? Because she goes into that throne room. Sandra sings about like I do. Not at all. But she'll start praising. She'll start worshiping. You want to go to the throne room? Yeah, come pray with me and Sandra and Ginger just one time. You're either going to run out of there scared, slapped to death, or something's going to happen. Amen. Something's going to happen. Amen? But this woman went after. This woman with issue of blood, she went after. And then, she took what she wanted from God. Now, look in the 13th chapter of Luke. We're starting the 10th verse, and it's going to go to the 19th verse. It's just two women. It's a simple sermon, isn't it? It's easy stuff. This is one of Ginger's favorite. Ginger shared this with me. And I thought it was so cool. No, I'm just preaching a part of it. The 10th verse, it starts. Do y'all want me to read it? Okay, I'll read it. Now when he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could not in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. I didn't get nothing out of that. You're going to get something out of it in a minute, though. You hear me? If you can get something out of it. And he laid his hand. Okay, I did that, didn't I? Okay. But the ruler of the synagogue. Let me tell you something. There ain't no ruler over this church other than Jesus. The ruler over the church answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, there are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come in and be healed on one of them and not on the Sabbath day. And I love what Jesus said here. He said, you hypocrite, doesn't each one of you loose his donkey or his ox from a stall and take him to get water? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, who Satan is bound, think of it, for 18 years be loose from this bond on the Sabbath? And when he said these things, all the adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. All right, now, let me tell you, when I go into the throne room, what I saw, and this is how it happens. The woman. All of a sudden, her back starts hurting a little bit. Okay? No big deal. Everybody has backaches every now and then, don't you? If you lift very much, you're gonna have, your back's gonna bother. If you sleep on the wrong mattress, sometimes your back's gonna bother you. I know. I had that happen this week. I went to bed. Okay, went to go to bed. And Ginger was in there, and she was out, man. I'm telling you, she was comatose. And Isabella was laid sideways across the bed. And I said, I'm just going to leave it like it is. And so I'll go into Jordan's room, and I'll sleep on Isabella's bed. And so I slept on Isabella's bed. And then when I woke up, Saturday, it was Friday night, Saturday morning, my back was killing me, and I had to take Jordan to play ball. And I went to wake Jordan up, and I said, Jordan! And she's on the other side of the room. I said, Jordan, wake up! No, Jordan. I grab a pillow, and I throw it over there. I said, Jordan, get up! So I get up, and Jordan's not there. I said, well, she must be getting ready. So I get up, and I'm going to get ready. And so I go to walk into my bathroom, into my bedroom, and there's Jordan and Isabella, and Jordan all and Ginger all in one bed. So I woke Jordan. I said, get up, you got to go play ball. I said, what are you doing in here? She said, you snored so loud. You woke me up and I couldn't go back to sleep. I had to play the ball all day. So I went to get in bed with Mom, and Isabella was in there. And then I just climbed in there. We all three slept together. And Ginger had no idea any of this happened. She was like this. She was gone. You hear me? She was out. But anyway, I mean, I woke up. My back hurt all day. I mean, everybody gets a backache, don't they, every once in a while? Sleep on the wrong mattress, lay the wrong way, sit in a chair for too long a period of time. My brother doesn't have a chair in his office anymore because it hurts his back. He had his chair moved out of his office. He has a headphone on, and he walks around. He stands up and walks around all day long in his office. It's better on his back, he said. He didn't hurt his back. He said, besides that, when you take your chair away, you do more work. You don't get idle. So when he went, he took all of his chairs away from all of his people that worked under him for a week. Said, let's see what production does now. Went way up. He said, you spend too much idle time in your chairs. Anyway, back was hurting. She said, wow, that hurts. Well, then after a few weeks, it didn't go away. And all of a sudden, it got to the point where she started bending over. Went to the doctor. And the doctor said, no more monkeys jumping on the bed. No, everybody with kids is going, I know that. Anyway. Doctor said, yeah, it'll be all right in a few days. Just take these Doane's pills, you know, or whatever they may be. You know, are you following me? Just do this. Rub this root on your back or whatever in case may be, you know. And it just started getting worse. And the Word of God said that it got to the point where she was bent over so far there was no way that she could raise herself up. She walked around probably with a cane, and she couldn't stand up. She walked around with a cane everywhere she went. She couldn't look at anybody in the eyes. She had to turn around and do this, you know, because she couldn't raise her head up. Because, are you following me? This woman was bent over, and so Jesus was invited by this pastor to preach in the Jewish synagogue. Now, I want you to think about this. This rabbi over this Jewish synagogue is an idiot to have Jesus preach in it. Jesus is against everything they believe in. You know, even though he's a Jew, he's still a rabbi. He's telling them, do we need to do things this way, this way, this way, this way? You're talking about things on the outside. I'm talking about things of the Spirit. You're thinking about things of the flesh. I'm talking about things. But this guy, you know, he said, you know what? I'm going to have this guy in our church. You know what? He brings in a good crowd. We'll get a good offer that Sunday. I'm telling you, it's happened. I've known it. Known it to happen. So anyway, you got to understand back then the way churches were. Churches were set up like the tabernacle. There was an inner court where the speaker and all of the officers of the church, all the scribes and the priests and everything, they were the only ones, and they all had on these costumes, looked like a Mardi Gras ball, you know. They had on these bright colors, and, you know, and they all sat in this big circle with one big aisleway that went out, and they all sat in there. Then they had the outer court, where anybody, as long as they weren't a woman, told you it was a man's world back then. Jesus delivered y'all. Thank God.
Hallelujah.
If First person he showed himself to as a risen Savior was women, not men. I love it. But anyway, all the men were in the outer court. And then, whoever else wanted to be there, they could be outside of that. And so this woman, she said, I'm going to go listen to this guy. They say he's pretty good. So she goes. And she gets down there, and you know, she gets down there, and she has to stand like this. And she's listening to Jesus, looking at it like this. And he's way off. Synagogue's way off. She's looking at him. Amen. You know. And Jesus, in the middle of himself preaching, he stops. He's a woman. Keep going. Yeah, you. Come here. No woman's ever been in there before. There she goes. All them men, when they walked by the outer court, all the men went, I can't believe that crippled old woman walking in here. She ain't got no right being in here. Churches, they're all that way. You hear me? I hate church people. I like to see them get delivered and become Jesus people. You hear me? And so, I don't hate them. I hate the way they do things. All right? I should rephrase that. You should have known what I was talking about, but you know. So anyway, then they go in there with the big Mardi Gras looking guys, you know, the scribes and the priests and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you know, and they're all sitting in there, and they don't know who he's talking to when he says, come here. But when this old woman, she gets in there, you know, they didn't know what to do. I know one thing, they were pretty ticked off about it. But they didn't know what to do. This is Jesus. This guy, you know, I mean, he'd been healing people. For all they knew, he could call down fire from heaven. So they just said, you know what, we'll deal with this a little bit later. Just, you know, this woman comes up to Jesus. And he said, woman, you're loosed from your infirmity. And so the Word of God said that she straightened up and started jumping and praising God. Listen. Jesus called a woman where no woman had ever been before, and when he laid his hands on her, she straightened up. You hear me?
Hallelujah.
Do you hear me? Don't run nowhere, Ginger. He called her where no woman had ever gone before. And the minute he touched her, not the minute the pastor touched her, not the minute the scribes or the Pharisees touched her, but when Jesus touched her, she straightened up. I bet she threw that cane right in the middle of them Pharisees and said, it's y'all now, I'm gone. You know, I mean, that's what I'd have done. I would have been cocky with it. For 18 years, I've been like this. And this guy tells me to walk in here where I'm not supposed to be, and immediately I straighten up. I'm right where I need to be. Y'all been wrong for thousands of years. I'll go wherever that man tells me to go. Because the last time I went where he told me to go, I got healed. I'm straightened up. I feel great. Watch. I'm going to praise God. It says she jumped and was praising God, didn't she? Isn't that what it says? Let me tell you something. She had no idea what was going to happen to her when she woke up that day. All she knew is that Jesus called her a place where she'd never been.
Amen.
And she went.
Yeah.
and had to walk with ridicule through all of those men. You know she heard comments when she was walking through there, didn't she? She heard all of it. And the ugly looks. Kept her head down and kept going, man. That's what we got to do sometimes. Just keep her head down and just keep going. Because I know where God called me to go. I know where He called me to go. I know. And that's what happens. If He calls us, and He has, all you have to do is go into that Holy of Holies where He's called you. Now, how do you get there? First you praise Him. He inhabits the praise of His people. Then you worship Him. And then you can boldly go and make your request known to God. You don't humbly come there and say, "Our most gracious Heavenly Father, in His most precious name we pray." That don't get no higher than that light. That don't even get to the ceiling. Don't get no higher than that light. When you come to a place where you are in the Holy of Holies, in the throne room of God, and God's standing there, and you're saying, "God, these are my petitions." It says you come boldly before the throne of grace. You know why? Because you have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When people start off a prayer, "Our most gracious Heavenly Father, I humbly come before You." You're not no more in front before God than the man in the moon. If you understand the Bible, it says the word of God says we come boldly before the throne of grace and make our petitions known to God. And Jesus said, "I'm sitting right there beside Him, and anything you ask Him in My name, I will give it to you," because you broke through the veil. You got to where He was. You went into praise. You went into worship. You came into the Holy of Holies, and Jesus is looking at God and saying, "Hey, He's with Me. Give Him what He wants." Okay, son. That's what the Bible says. That's not what I'm saying. My job is to bring the Word forth in such a way that faith builds in you. And if faith isn't building in you right now, boy, you're not hearing what I got to say. Are you following me? Then, of all things, I get so aggravated with these stupid preachers in the Bible. And I get aggravated with a few now, here and there too. But especially in the Bible. The ruler of the synagogue, in other words, the pastor, the rabbi, the whatever you want to call it, said, "Honey, there are 6 days that you could have done this, but you chose the Sabbath day to heal this woman on. We don't allow that." Jesus said, "You hypocrite." Now let me tell you something. This is the guy that invited you to preach in his church. And you bring forth a great miracle and a woman's healed. And the guy said, "You know, you could have done that at some other time." And Jesus just said, "You hypocrite." There went his love offering right there. "You hypocrite. You got donkeys and you got ox. You got horses and you got cows. And then this morning, every one of you went out there and you went and got water for that donkey or that cow. And this woman is a daughter of Abraham, a son, a daughter of God, and you don't give her the same respect you give a cow. You're a hypocrite." And everybody just shut their mouth right then. It said in the last verse that we read. When he told them that, he said, "When he said these words, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitudes rejoiced." Are you following me? Are you? This is my point right here. I said all that to say this, and we're going to stop. Whether you have the faith to risk your life and to just touch Jesus, or you have the obedience to go where He called you, He's going to do a miracle for you wherever it, whichever way it may be. It doesn't matter whether you're risking whatever, everything that you've got to do what God called you to do. It doesn't matter if you've just got to be a little bit uncomfortable in your praise or your worship to get where God wants you to be. It says that He straightened her up. It said that she pulled virtue out of Him. I want that. I want to be able to pull the power of God out from Him when I need it. Because it's always there. When I need something from God, I want to be able to just reach up and grab it and pull it out of Him. And He'll say, "That was, I know His touch. That was Paul." Are you following me? You've got that. You've got that. But if God calls you to a place, you've got to be willing to go and accept the ridicule that comes along with it. If you want the blessing, you got to take the ridicule. That's just no other way around it. Jesus said, if they ain't going to like me, they dang sure ain't going to like you. You hear me? That's the way it is. If they persecute me, they're going to persecute you. So get used to it and move on and they just don't worry about it. That's what Jesus said. I didn't say that. I had a pastor tell me the other day he wanted to move to an area and start a church. I said, it ain't going to work, Pastor. He said, well, I said, why? I said, because that's where you were raised. Jesus couldn't do it. What do you think makes you think you can do it? He said, well, I think you're right. I said, I didn't say that. I'm just doing what Jesus said. Go where you celebrate it, not tolerate it. I said, you go, don't go someplace place that's close to your house. You play, go someplace that's close to your heart. You know? And well, I mean, yeah, that was just a revelation to this guy. You know, and I learned that years ago. Somebody told me that. We were in First Baptist Church of Castor, Louisiana. I mean, just there. I was traveling and evangelizing and doing everything I was supposed to do. And I got called by churches that were within, you know, 40 or 50 miles of that church. And I would not take it because I knew that it would cause problems with the church, my home church. I said, I won't do that. I'm not going to separate that church. I'm not going to split that. I'm not going to do it. I will not allow that to happen. And so I would not take that church. And then years later, I mean, not long later, I took that thing up there around Homer, and then this came out of it, you know. And it's just been wonderful. But I would not. I knew where God called me to be. I knew where God wanted me to be. Are you following me? I knew where God had called me, and I knew that persecution would come. I knew that it would not be easy, but I did know that it would be worth it. Are you following me? There's a lot of things that's going to come and go in this world, but one thing's for sure is this. I'm called, and I know it, and Jesus knows it, and so that's all that matters to me. That's what I tell every young minister that comes in. I tell him, I said, you got to be sure of one thing. I said, what? I said, you better know that Jesus called you. You can't believe. You know, I feel led to go. Well, you're not. I feel led to go into the ministry. I don't. Because if you feel led, you're going to feel led to leave a bunch. There's going to be times in your life when, let me tell you something. If you don't know, if it's not, let me tell you something. Taylor Wilson is as called as Jesus. If you don't believe me, ask the crow lady. Ginger was prophesying over night, and she went, called, called, called. She sounded like a crow. Called, called, you know. And it was just a confirmation of what was already in him. You know, everybody knew it. He even knew it, and he just didn't want to, you know. I mean, but he fell in line. But, you know, when you know that now, don't you ever, ever, ever forget it. Because there's going to come times when you wonder, what's God called you to do? Do you know? Do you know? I know one thing. When He calls you, there's a risk that's involved. But when you get to where He calls you to be, He's going to lay His hands on you and He's going to straighten you right up. And you're going to see things from a whole new perspective. You're not going to be looking at the world with your head down. Our most gracious heavenly, humbly before the throne of grace. You're going to straighten up and you're going to say, God, this is what I need. And you told me I can have it if I ask it in Jesus' name. Jesus, let Him know. You can't see God bent over like this. You got to see God straight, standing up straight. I'm not saying don't get on your knees before God. I'm just saying it is just a figure of speech. You, when He lays His hands on you, you will straighten up. You'll see Him for all that He is. More importantly, you'll see you for all that He made you to be. Are you following me? Amen. Now. Be bold. Be bold when Jesus touches you or when you barely touch Him. Because either way, you're in contact with Jesus. You're in contact. Let me tell you something. There's been times in the last month or two, let me tell you what, I've needed a touch from Jesus. You hear me? I've needed them. I've needed them. Man, I'm telling you, it ain't the easiest thing in the world. But you know what? When I was at the end of the rope, Jesus said, okay. And I said, I never saw it that way before. Changes your whole perspective on things. Changes the way you do everything. Changes your whole outlook. Man, I'm happy. Hey, I'm a different man than I was. But you know what? I had to get to the point where I was in my, God, I don't have no idea what's going on. I have no idea what's happening. I'm not in sin. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. What in the heck's happening here? And then I just finally got honest with myself and I got honest with God. And I said, why aren't you going to defend me? When I got to that point, God said, all right, now, this is what we're going to do. Okay, I'm ready now. Sorry, I hollered at you later. So earlier. You know, but you just got to be honest with God. There's a lot of people out that are in churches everywhere, across Minden, North, all across the world right now, that just aren't being honest with God. They're just not being honest with Him. And you know what? And all He wants to do is touch you. That's all He wants to do is touch you. That's all He wants to do. And there's a lot of people who just want a touch from God, but they're not willing to walk down that aisle or press through that crowd or get through all the crap and the garbage and everything else it takes to get to it to touch Him. True. Today you got the opportunity. You can touch God today or you can have Him touch you. Either way, you're going to be touched before you leave. Who wants a touch from God? Who wants a touch? Well, stand to your feet then. Stand to your feet then. If you want a touch from God, come down here. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. I want Ginger to pray for you. Amen, amen, amen. If you need to, do it.